Osiris.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of 8 cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hello. I was gonna say it's the first pod of 2023, but it's not, because we were here on New Year's Day.
It's not the first pod of 2023.
The first Goose 2023 day after show pod. So that's exciting. Hello, everybody. We're here with very special guest. Finally getting her on the pod, Micah Atkind.
Hello.
Hi, Micah. Thank you for being here today. We're very excited. Unfortunately your parents couldn't make it, so you're the next best thing.
Yeah, they're ziplining because they're significantly more fun than I am.
They are fun. Can't dispute that. But yeah, it was a fun show in Mexico last night. You know, unfortunately, we were webcasting and not on the beach, but it looked like fun. You guys have a good time webcasting?
I enjoyed the webcast. How about you, Micah? What did you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed the webcast, because I was on my couch and then I could go to bed when I wanted.
That's the Micah Atkins specialty, going to bed when you want. Well, obviously, unfortunately, can't talk about getting into the venue and whatnot because we don't have a firsthand account, but we can talk about the music. We can talk about Goose 2023, starting off with one of the best songs of 2022. Nice pairing of Hunger Site, Western Sun to open. Micah, what did you think of this opener?
That it was beautiful. I'm gonna be honest, I was much more focused on my ice cream than I was on the show quality, but it was lovely. I love a Hunger Site.
It's good. And solid jam on this one too.
It was.
This one did have a pretty nice jam. And when we were listening to it, I think we were all a little bit excited because we thought it was gonna go some crazy places, but it did have like a hard stop.
Yeah,
which was unfortunate, but man, Hunger Site opener is awesome, and it might be my new favorite opener other than Switch It. But I'm calling more Hunger Site openers from here on out because that was killer. It was really good.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them last year. You know, another good one would be Hunger Site Inside Out from Rally. Red Rocks open with Hunger Site as well. So yeah, definitely a great way to set the tone for a really strong show for sure. And then we get Cali Magic, which, you know, beach vibe. Totally missed that in my fantasy picks yesterday, that they have, there's a lyric in that song that mentions beach. So it was obvious. I went for the Creatures pick instead, which ended up not paying off there. But Cali Magic, Rockdale, Silver Rising, Pancakes, solid stuff here. Rockdale had a little bit of an atypical jam, I think. The unfortunate thing that, you know, was noticed last night was, you know, so they obviously didn't schlep all of their gear to Mexico for one night, and they backlined everything. So if people were confused why Peter's keyboards looked a little bit different, or some of the amps or drums, what have you. I did find out, though, that the gong that Jeff had last night is his gong. He brought his gong to Mexico. He did not backline the gong.
So, thank God for that.
Yes, very important. Neil's repping. But yeah, Peter.
So wait. I have a question here. Did you ask the obvious follow-up question when you were talking about this, which is, how the hell did you get a gong to Mexico? Like, this is like a carry-on. You just put
I was like, wow, oversized baggage. Like, I
guess you put some stuff under the plane. Like, I assume they travel with their pedals and their guitars.
Can you carry on a gong, Neil?
I'm not the guy to ask that question because clearly like someone found a way.
The like proportions don't fit in an overhead bin.
Yeah, I like maybe his mini gong would probably be fine, but the full size one, I think that's like a checked bag. I wonder if he has like a special travel case for the gong, probably, but like an airplane safe gong case.
I mean, because this is actually like a pretty funny thing to dive into, because how many people on Earth travel with a gong? I can't imagine there are any people.
Like, if something accidentally hits it when it's in cargo, and like, that's got to freak some people out if you just like.
Well, I mean, if it was like suspended from somewhere so the sound could ring, but I feel like if it's lying down and you hit it, it'll just be like a dull thump.
This is amazing.
It's nice to imagine. Oh, we've got Gong Gang representative.
Oh, Austin's here.
Austin in the chat. It is an important question. We do know, Austin, if you have any intel on traveling with a gong or tips for any fellow gang members who are interested in traveling with a gong, let us know.
Yeah, we definitely need to dive into this. And nice to have Austin Gamby, CEO of Gong Gang LLC, here with us. So that's exciting.
That's good. It is. So anyway, back to my original point before we went on our gong tangent. They backlined all their gear, which means Peter had a different clav. You know, unfortunately, not every clav has the same incredible tone that his does. You know, he was still running a similar combination with an amp, I believe. So some of it was there, but it was missing a little bit of his bite, which was especially notable to me on Rockdale. But Rockdale was still great. Interesting jam for sure. And then, you know, great peak. I think at this point, they're playing some hits. They're easing in the playing in the sand crowd. You know, this is another big gig for them where a large portion of the crowd isn't there to see Goose. But, you know, unlike a festival where they could go see other bands, you're at the resort, right? So you're either going to sit in your room and not go to a show that night, or you're going to go see Goose, whether you're skeptical or not. And I feel like it's hard not to in that situation. Like, are you going to sit in your hotel room, or are you going to go see the show that you're, you know, paying a lot of money to go see?
Even I wouldn't just sit in my hotel room. That says
that does say a lot. Micah is harder to get out of her hotel room than a lot of old deadheads.
You know, the funny thing is, had I gone to Mexico, it would have been hard to get me to the Dead and Company sets. I don't know. That's unnecessary trash talk.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But then we get Silver Rising, you know, obviously looking back again, another obvious pick, you know, looking at that. Great song, Under the Moon. I don't know what kind of state the moon is in right now, whether it was visible or not last night. But great song. It was good, you know, just very, very festival set feeling, but in a good way, you know?
Yeah, I had a feeling this was coming, this kind of a set, where they're just going to kind of reel off all of the hits. I kind of was expecting like a little bit more jamming in the show. And I think that's like the one kind of thing I'm thinking about when I like am looking back at this show is like, and I wish they jammed a couple things out because it felt like the energy was there, but they just didn't do it. You know, like I think Hunger Sight sounded like it was going to go far, and it sounded like it was going to be really good. Rockdale also sounded like it was going to be really good. That was killer, that Rockdale, just short. I don't know what like timings are and stuff because I haven't gone back and listened to it on Nugs, but that's what I was thinking about last night. And then, yeah, Silver Rising, should have seen that one coming. I mean, they're gonna do the hits for that crowd, and they certainly did.
Bangers only.
Rockdale's been on longer. I would not have been mad.
Ooh. Okay. I always forget whether you like really like long jams or not. That's
it depends. It depends.
That's fair. And then, and then we get pancakes. Awesome. And then last song before the big sit-in, we get pancakes, which always fantastic. You know, we're getting into this kind of formula for like a shorter pancakes jam, this like very aggressive piano jam from Peter. But this was great. Again, nice and short, nice and concise, and they hit a great peak and great transition back into the end of the song, but short.
That's the theme of the night, right?
Yeah.
It's short. And if we're talking about this show, we're talking mostly about the second set and then the thing we're going to talk about next.
The thing we're going to talk about next. You know, a year ago, tell us like, okay, a year from now, Goose will have played an entire tour with Trey, and also, you know, Bobby's going to sit in.
Wouldn't believe it.
I figured they were a couple of years away from it, maybe, or, you know, it's just crazy to think about. But playing with Bobby last night, you know, they were all clearly so, you know, excited and happy to be on sharing the stage with him. Really, really cool. I'm hoping, you know, we see some more collaborations over the next two nights with Dead & Co, which would be really cool. At drums, at the very least, maybe. I'm not saying that like, you know, because I already asked.
I know nothing. I literally know nothing.
Yeah. Micah finds out the same time we do.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was funny that Peter, you know, invited Bobby on stage and then promptly left.
I was surprised to see him walk off stage. Like, I didn't think it was going to be like a duet thing. I kind of assumed Peter would stay and play some guitar as well.
Which he didn't do at all last night.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, maybe there's a reason for that, actually. Maybe his guitar didn't make it or something happened in transit. That's actually a good question.
He used it on stage? He used it at the beginning of Tomorrow Never Knows, I think. And that was the only time he picked up the guitar all night, which was so interesting to me because Two Guitar Goose is such an incredible highlight of the band. And, you know, also, again, fans of a band like The Dead, which is much more guitar centric than keyboard centric. But it's an interesting choice for him. But Peggy O was really nice. Rick and Bobby trading vocals and nice solo.
Really nice.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, this sit-in is actually really interesting to think about because Goose does play Grateful Dead songs. Mm-hmm. And they have always played Grateful Dead songs. And yeah, I mean, you have to assume they were really stoked about this one. I don't know how many more opportunities there are for these guys to, or anyone for that matter, to sit in with Bobby or anybody from the Grateful Dead. So this one is pretty cool. And I'm stoked about the song that they chose too, because Peggy O is just amazing. And Rick does such an amazing job with that song always. Mm-hmm. I mean,
first one,
you know,
first one since February.
First Peggy O since February?
Yeah.
Really?
He's done it with Arabalo, but the last time they played it was Louisville.
Well, there you go. You got the facts. But yeah, man, you know how I feel about Rick singing Jerry songs. It's just so good and killer. And I'm glad that they chose to do that one. I need to go back and listen to that because I didn't pick that up on the stream, but it seemed like the crowd was really, I do remember the crowd being incredibly loud when Bobby came out.
Yeah.
That seemed to wake everybody up and get everybody into the thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the Peggy O, Micah?
It's just like, I don't know. It's very cool. I was actually talking with Amy, Rick's sister, yesterday. And like the whole thing is still bizarre to both of us. It was lovely. I loved it.
Do you have a Goose siblings group chat?
We do not. There is a Goose moms group chat, though.
Yes. I know of that existence.
It's called Mother Goose.
That's amazing. I did not know that existed.
It's incredible. Very cute. They got drinks before Goosemas all together. It's very nice.
Has Ryan been pulled into the Rich and June group chat yet? Does this exist yet?
He is not.
I know the adoption is coming.
Well, I've been told when messaging with Rich, if certain terms of endearment are used, it's actually June. I was informed that Rich doesn't use specific words. I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but we love Rich and June.
We love Rich and June.
Always Almost There loves Rich and June. Anyway, next song, the rest of the band comes back out. They do Tomorrow Never Knows. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this cover. You know, I kind of forgot that the Dead even played it. But this was actually cool. Thinking back on the jam, it was a cool vibe. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Bobby's guitar tone in the world, but it was cool. They, you know, obviously they seem to really be enjoying themselves. And the one thing that the slower tempo that Bobby puts them into does is creates a lot of space, right? There's a lot of room to do a lot of different textures and things that, you know, when you're going ahead really fast, you don't always have. So I think it's also a cool experience for Goose to, you know, kind of be slowed down at that tempo and play something like this.
This is the one they do with everybody, I guess, right? So like every big sit-in, like I don't know who's coming next, like what the next big sit-in is, but
they're going to play Tomorrow Never Knows.
They're going to play Tomorrow Never Knows. Like that's the one that they do. You know, when they get Justin Vernon on stage, finally, they're going to be doing Tomorrow Never Knows. Or maybe like, I don't know, Jim James or something. let's hope both of those things happen in 2023. How about that?
Manifest.
Yeah, let's do it. But this one was rough. I'm going to be honest. It sounded pretty rough. This was not rehearsed with Bobby. So there was like Goose doing the song just how they know how to do it. And then there was just Bobby, and who knows what he was hearing, what he was doing. But
well, they did it differently than they usually do it. You know, like coming out of Yeti when they'll do that, they don't do it at this slow of a tempo. Right. So they did change the arrangement a little bit.
Yeah, I guess my point is that I think there was Goose playing and then there was Bobby playing, and it definitely felt two very distinct things. But you know, I mean, it was good, it was cool, but it wasn't.
It was so sweet. I loved it.
That's good. That's great. And then Hard to Handle to close the set. This was a really interesting choice. You know, instead of doing another Dead tune. Or a Goose tune, they did another cover, which I am all for Goose playing this song more, because after hearing Rick do it with Phil and Friends in October, I was like sold on Rick singing this song. Like he kills it. This was not as good as that Phil and Friends version. I don't think it was still fun. You know, again, they're very clearly having the time of their lives up there playing, you know, with Bobby, which is incredible. Absolutely incredible. But I do wish they had done another Dead song, you know, at least at some point in the show, even without Bobby. But it was fun. This was a 413 show bust out for Goose. Last played July 14th, 2017. So the first time that they've played it with Peter and the band. And Jeff.
That's I don't know. I don't know if you can call covers a bust out. We were talking about this last night, but that is a long time ago. Without playing.
They haven't played in 413 shows.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but has it ever really been a regular part of their catalog? Like, I don't.
It doesn't matter. It's still bust out if it was last played 400 shows ago.
I guess. I mean, it's a cool choice. I mean, I can think of like a whole ton of Dead songs I would have loved to have heard, but this one was like a nice surprise and it was pretty cool.
Micah, Hard to Handle.
Yeah, it's good.
Awesome. And then you stayed awake through set break.
I did. I was debating going to bed, but I powered through like a song and a half of second set.
That's impressive. For anyone who doesn't know, Micah is famous for going to bed at set break or before the show even starts. Making it through an entire webcast is like a once a tour, if that. So second set opens up with Animal and Don't Do It. You know, felt like interesting picks for the beginning of a second set for sure. You know, Animal had a little bit of an extended middle section as it's been doing lately. And Don't Do It is always fun. You know, great cover. Goose sounds so good covering the band. And so at this point, you know, we were talking in our group chat. We were wondering if it's going to be just another like kind of festy jukeboxy set. And then they rip out Thatch. And this is when it went from like, okay, we're hanging out on a beach and we're playing a fun show to like, wait a minute. Like, we're gonna fuck some shit up here. like, you know, it's awesome that it's very evident that the band loves Thatch as much as we do. Like this song is just so incredible every time. And you could tell as they built, like, you know, as Rick was just shredding the solo in it, like, they were all just loving it. And the crowd seemed to be really into the Thatch as well.
Megan, what are your opinions on Thatch?
Yes, tell us.
Yeah, we're dying to know. This is the whole reason we had you on. We wanted you to come on and talk about
Thatch. Micah's Thatch opinions.
I honestly have not listened to very many Thatches. I'm a fan, generally speaking, but I haven't listened to so much recently.
Well, I am excited about this song. And like every time, I sound like a broken record because I say this every time we talk about this, but every time they play it, it sounds better than the last time that they played it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it crushes. Like, you know, the last two versions I absolutely loved. The first time they played it, I was like, yeah, I wonder about this song. And like now it's like, when I go to a show,
this is the best song.
I would like Thatch to be in that set.
Yeah.
And what I want even more than that is a 20 plus minute version of Thatch where it just absolutely goes off the rails and it's just like a full on like funk explosion for, you know, like 20-25 minutes. And that is going to be killer when it happens.
Yeah.
Brian, would you rather get Thatch or Moby?
I mean, so I've now seen both. And I don't know either one. Give me either one. I can't choose between like two favorite children. I'm not your dad. Like, you know, I can't.
Oh, I'm the least favorite child. It's fine.
I would choose Thatch over Moby. I mean, Moby's cool, and I think some of the shine has worn off of Moby for me now. But I was really, really stoked on it like a year ago, and like I mean, it's good. Like, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but there isn't much more than a couple minutes of Moby. But when you get Thatch, you're getting.
It's true. This is a good point. Thatch,
that's the point I was just making.
Longer.
Yeah.
So
you get more goodness with Thatch. But Moby is pretty cool.
Like, yeah, that's true. Okay, Mike, I'm taking a very good question. Thank you for that. And then we get, you know, undisputed jam of the year 2023 right here. This Old Sea comes out. You know, I was very happy to hear this. You know, after the raging Thatch, you know, I felt like the time was ripe for us to get some good improv in, and they did it. You know, nice and concise. I think it was around 15 minutes or so. But this jam was great, picked up ahead of steam really quickly, and then got into they were jamming on Hollywood Nights for a couple of minutes towards the end, which was pretty fun. Micah, they did that. Can you believe it?
Can't believe it. Amazing. It's
crazy.
It is crazy how they found Hollywood Nights in that jam. Like, it didn't sound to me like they went out of their way to go and do that.
And it wasn't on the set list. Like, you know,
they just arrived at it. And it, I mean, that was killer. It sounded awesome. I'm excited to go back and listen to that. I haven't listened to any of the second set yet. I actually revisited a little bit of the first set this morning, but hopefully we get some boards soon because the sound.
I hope so too. I'm itching to start my. I'm itching to start my 2023 playlist. You know, as soon as these boards drop, it's being created with C.
Yeah, it's a playlist of one song. There you go. Your jam of the year.
You know what? That's where it started. I think I had two songs on it after the first show of 2022. So get it done early. I encourage everybody to start your playlist now if you want to help seed next year's bracket.
But yeah, I mean,
we'll get to the bracket talk once we make it through the rest of the show. This Old Sea lands nicely in Moby, as we just discussed. Great. Peter took this one on piano instead of electric piano. Which was interesting. I was hoping he would take it on electric piano so I could hear it on, you know, Rhodes instead of his usual vintage vibe. Slight difference in the sound, if anybody was wondering. And then we get a nice, fun, hot tea to close the set. You know, there was Tumble and Arcadia on the written set list. Sad we didn't get those. But
they would have been killer.
Nice Trevor Bass solo.
They would have been awesome, both of those. And but like if you didn't see Hot Tea coming at this show, like you're saying it wasn't written on the set list.
It was not on the set list.
How are they not playing Hot Tea at this show? Like I thought for sure it was coming. And here it is, closing the second set, which is, you know, it's a fun second set closer in the type of show that they're playing in Mexico for people who like aren't familiar with the band. I do see everything coming. No, I don't. I don't at all. But
you did well in fantasy.
I did okay.
Then the Elmeg encore was nice. They're playing this song a lot these days. You know, this and Factory Fiction have really gotten a lot of play, you know, in the last year or so. Like they played it. They've now played it 3 times, you know, since November, which is crazy to think about. Factory Fiction too has also gotten a ton of play. So it's interesting to look at these songs that were kind of lauded as like rarities and special occasion songs for a long time, getting heavier rotation. But this jam, you know, again, short, only like 12 minutes or so, had a nice couple of minutes of a synthy jam from Peter here. Kind of enjoyed it. It's cool. Nice way to close.
I don't really remember much of the jam. I was on probably like my fifth Jeb with Lime at this point. Ice cold Jeb. But definitely was drinking some tequila last night watching the show. I'm kidding. No, this was really cool. And
he's not kidding about the tequila.
There was tequila last night.
Yeah.
No doubt. Okay. Well, I mean, you had to, right? Like you're celebrating Goose playing in Mexico. Like you have to have some tequila.
With a Jeb.
Jeb, right.
Yeah.
So for those of you not on Twitter, a Jeb is a glass filled moderately high with tequila and then topped off with club soda. That's it. That's a Jeb. And then if you add grapefruit soda, that is not a Paloma. That is a grapefruit Jeb.
Yep.
And those are the two cocktails.
Yes.
Yes. So
Micah, are you a fan of a Jeb?
I am a fan. I haven't been doing tequila much lately.
Mm. Happens. It's a shame. Happens to the best of us. But anyway, that's the show from last night. Couple items of housekeeping. For those of you who are not aware, it's bracket season. And if you're not aware, that probably means that you're not following us on social media because we have been posting incessantly about it for a little while.
You don't have to do it.
I was just about to ask, Micah, have you filled out your bracket? Okay, before we get there, we have a question from the chat. Micah, what's your go-to cocktail?
What's my go-to cocktail? I like when I'm out, I usually just do like vodka soda, splash of lime. But I like fun, like fruity sorts of situations. Had one a little while ago at an Israeli restaurant in Manhattan that had grapefruit and arak and lime. It was delicious. One of the best drinks I've ever had.
I love it.
What is arak?
Arak is a liquor that's like licorice-y, which I'm not a licorice fan, but it like the tiny bit tasted perfect in the drink. To go on the Upper West Side if anyone's interested.
Interesting. Take Micah's New York recommendations. They're good.
They are good.
So, bracket season. Micah, have you filled out your bracket yet?
Sure haven't.
Well, good thing you still have 8.5 more hours until the deadline. The deadline to fill out your brackets for the Bracket Prediction Challenge is tonight at 11:59 because voting on the first round begins tomorrow at noon on Twitter at AATGoosePod. And I am going to take this opportunity to announce our very exciting prizes for the Bracket Prediction Challenge. Micah, this may incentivize you to fill one out. I don't know. So third place for the Bracket Prediction Challenge will get an official Goose pin. Yes, an official Goose pin, one of the many pins that they have created over the last few years. An official Goose pin plus some assorted Jive Goose slaps, of which there are many lovely ones. Second place will receive an Always Almost There t-shirt and a Goose pin. Ooh. And first place, the grand prize winner, Neil, in addition to the pin, would you like to explain what the grand prize is going to be?
Well, see, like, I don't want to talk about it in words before, like, unveiling it, you know?
That's fair.
Because, like, I feel like it might downplay, but...
Okay, so should we just
let's
say...
Let's talk about it generally. Can we talk about it generally? So, for the first year ever, and I think this is a thing that we're going to do going forward.
100%.
There it is going to be, and always almost there, Goose Podcast, Bracket Challenge Championship Trophy. And...
It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
It's unlike anything you've ever seen. It's fucking awesome. Like, let's just get it out there. But I'm not ready to show it to everybody just yet because it is being constructed by the finest craftsmen in all of the trophy building universe. But wait till you see this thing. Everybody's going to love it. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. It is not a glizzy. That is a question.
it's going to blow your mind. So... Look for an announcement about that later in the tournament. But if you want to win that very highly lauded prize, Micah.
I don't have room for anything else in my apartment.
What if Michael wins it? So that is the other question.
It's going into storage at his parents.
Has he filled out his bracket yet? Actually, this is an important question.
I think he has. Michael is very diligent. About things, at least one of you.
I haven't filled mine out yet. I am not very diligent.
But you have until 11:59 tonight. You got plenty of time. Get in the running for a very special.
He's diligent
trophy.
About his bracket. I am diligent about cleaning the apartment. So there we go.
Everyone has their strengths. His happened to be more useful. Yes. So voting begins tomorrow. We are very, very excited. We're very, very excited about this bracket. You know, we've been working hard. You guys have been working hard filling out your brackets. A lot of very tough matchups. And we're excited to see how it all plays out over the next couple of months. If anyone wasn't aware, it will be ending just in time for the cap run in March. So this should tide you over 2 jams a day for the next little while. It's going to be
4
fun.
Jams a day.
4 jams just a day for the first round. Yes, that's true. We will be doing 2 matchups.
First 16 days.
Yes, the first 16
You're
days.
Get
and we will
4 jams.
We look for a couple of lives, always almost their lives, happening in between now and the end of the bracket. We'll be doing some mid-bracket commentary talking about the results. Ooh. We get excited. Micah, thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Finally.
Yes. Can't wait to have you back.
We finally did it. We've been talking about this for so long. I don't think we talked about this on the pod, but we were talking about it beforehand. This is something we've talked about for a really long time. And in fact, we've been talking about it so much that we were like, when we have Mike on, it's got to be a really special episode. Like, we were talking about, like, let's just do shots of tequila for the whole episode.
Yeah.
But, like, thankfully, to make this episode special, Goose went out of their way to find a special guest like Bob Weir. To be on, and like, here we are. So we have this like really special episode with Micah. We finally did it. We're going to do it again, hopefully.
Yes.
We are going to do it again. Soon.
We are going to do it again. For anyone who really likes to know news well in advance about special guests for our spring tour day after show, Micah and Michael will be making an appearance for one of the nights of Philly, TBD. So
yeah. Hey, well, now that we have, this is going to be one of our last podcasts for a while. We should talk about this, but
yes, we
if
should.
If you are going to these shows,
any show,
and you want to be on,
yeah,
always almost there to talk about the show. Just reach out.
Yeah,
and we'll
send
have
us
you
a
on.
DM.
Well, yeah,
100%. We want anybody and everybody. Let us know if you're going to a show. If you want to be on, it's the day after 3:00 Eastern. We talk for a little while. It's fun. Micah, is it fun? Can you endorse the fact that it's fun?
It's a great time. No, I'm having fun. I am.
Micah's very fun. You know, and we look forward to having Rich and June on the podcast at some point.
You guys they're going to be way better than I am. Got to work on that.
Well, we'll get there. Maybe after Boston.
That's just like dream guests right there. Rich and June, that's like up there, you know. There's like a few that I'd be really excited about, but they're probably the most excited. I would.
Yeah.
We'll just get the whole family.
Yes, please.
Fine.
Twist my arm. All right. Atkin Family, Always Almost There podcast coming soon. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. See you in a few weeks. Enjoy the bracket.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Henry Kay, host of the number one music history podcast, Rootsland. Come with me on a journey to Kingston, Jamaica, where we explore the world of reggae music and the untold stories of some of the genre's greatest legends. From the ghettos and tenement yards where the music was born, to the island's iconic recording studios. We are so excited to team up with Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music. Because as you'll hear, sometimes the story is the best song.